chapter 12. Name above every name. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11, NKJ 5th. As my October-November 2017 trial proceeded, I claimed the power of Jesus over everyone and everything, every day. On Monday, October 30th, jury selection day, I said the name Jesus at least once per person as I looked at each potential juror. I also said Jesus' name once for every person who entered the courtroom, judge, lawyers, witnesses, officers, spectators, etc. I did this every single day until court was finished on the very last day. In addition to each person, I claimed the power of Jesus by saying his name over every piece of evidence as I laid eyes upon it, including the cell phones used for demonstration during court. Whenever the defense or prosecution stepped forward with paperwork or lists containing questions, I said the name Jesus as I looked at each item. This particular calling of Jesus' name may seem a bit excessive, but let me explain. I wanted God to have control over everyone and everything that was part of my trial. By calling on the name that is above all names, I received peace, knowing that I had taken my petition to God. I did not know exactly what to ask God to do, so I let my spirit ask him for me. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, so the spirit prays for us. See Romans 8:26. On Wednesday, November 1st, 2017, I and my court-appointed attorney and Ms. Nisha Sanders were alone in the conference room early in the morning before court began. And Ms. Sanders told me that while driving on her way to her office that morning, she noticed a guy in traffic greeting her. The guy's name was Adam. And Ms. Sanders explained to me that she represented Adam in her first ever murder case and that she helped him to win the case. She explained how when she represented Adam, she was inexperienced with that type of case and how she filed the necessary motions to have the charge dismissed. I didn't say anything at the time, but that was a sign from the Lord as to what would happen with my case. To be honest, I didn't even realize the sign myself. It wasn't until after the mistrial was declared that I saw what God was doing. On Tuesday, October 31st, 2017, something unexpected happened. As the prosecution presented evidence and things seemed to be going favorably for the prosecution, and Ms. Sanders said, "Oh Jesus," I heard her, looked at her and said, "That's right, call his name." After court was done for the day, I told her how I heard her say the name Jesus and how she was right to do so. Her reply, "Oh, I call his name sometimes when I got a lot going on." If I recall correctly, every single time that Ms. Sanders met with me at the jail after my surrender to Christ, I tried to talk her into being closer to God. I always talked about Jesus. I always had my Holy Bible. I always quoted scriptures. I tried to get her to have faith in what God had told me by the mouth of my Uncle Howard. I also prayed with her, prayed for her, and offered her relationship advice. After the November mistrial, as I was praying about Ms. Sanders' relationship, the Spirit prompted me to look up scriptures about marriage and share them with Ms. Sanders. I thought that I would see her soon, so I didn't bother mailing her the letters and scriptures, but instead I held on to the envelope until the next time that I saw her. As it goes, I ended up sharing the scriptures and advice in class and with a guy who came to jail who had been with his woman faithfully for 10 years, although they had not married yet. I did not get a chance to give the letter and scriptures to my lawyer until January 2018, but I think that I obeyed what God had commanded me to do. I don't have a copy of the letter that I wrote to my attorney, Miss Nisha Sanders, but she used it as part of her reason to withdraw from representing me. I didn't find out about it until after my release from jail. Here's the motion by defense and the response from the judge. In the Circuit Court of LeFlore County, Mississippi. Cause number 2015-0182, State of Mississippi. Versus Edward Broome, motion to withdraw. Comes now. Court-appointed counsel for the defendant Edward Broome, who is charged of first-degree murder and moves this court for leave to withdraw his counsel in this matter, and in support thereof would state unto the court the following. 1. That the defendant has made inappropriate verbal overtones and now written down legal communication that would prevent counsel herein from providing him the zealous defense he is entitled to under the law. 2. That counsel herein requests this honorable court to grant their leave to withdraw. 3. That this motion is not for delay, but it is filed. to protect the safety of counsel and to protect the constitutional rights of the defendant. Wherefore, counsel for the defendant requests that the court enter an order allowing counsel to withdraw as attorney of record for Edward Broome. Respectfully submitted, Nisha Sanders. Honorable Nisha Sanders. Honorable K. Elizabeth Davis. Attorneys for defendant. Filed January 2018. 10. Elma Stockstill. Circuit Clerk. In the Circuit Court of LaFleur County, Mississippi. Criminal Action No. 2015-0182. State of Mississippi. Versus Edward Broome. Order denying motion to withdraw. This matter having come before the court on defense counsels, attorneys Nisha Sanders and Elizabeth Davis motion to withdraw as counsel for defendant Edward Broome on a charge of first-degree murder. This court finds the following. That attorney Nisha Sanders was appointed to represent the above-referenced defendant on February 1, 2016. Attorney Elizabeth Davis was appointed to represent the defendant on July 6, 2016. That on or by January 10, 2018, attorneys Sanders and attorney Davis filed a motion to withdraw as counsel stating that the defendant has made inappropriate verbal overtones towards attorney Sanders and also wrote her an inappropriate letter that could cause them not to give him the zealous representation upon which he is entitled. That, in addition to the inappropriate verbal overtones, counsels are also concerned that because of the defendant's history, he may present a safety concern to them. That the case is scheduled to begin trial on January 16, 2018. That attorney Sanders and attorney Davis have represented the defendant in a previous trial in this matter which ended in a mistrial on November 3, 2017. Having considered statements and concerns of counsel and having reviewed the letter that precipitated the motion to withdraw, the court does not find that the defendant's conduct rises to a level that presents a safety concern to either attorney. While the court does believe that the defendant's conduct in discussing attorney Sanders' personal life is inappropriate, based on the information presented, the court does not find that it warrants a recusal at this late state in the process. It is therefore ordered and adjudged that defense counsel's motion withdraw is hereby denied. So ordered and adjudged this the 11th day of January 2018. Carol White Richard, Circuit Judge, filed January 11, 2018. Elma Stockstill, Circuit Clerk. Ms. Turner and Ms. Turnick are two elderly women who visit the men at the LaFleur County Jail in Greenwood, Mississippi faithfully every Sunday. There are three different men's housing units at the jail, so Ms. Turner and Ms. Turnick have service with each one every three Sundays. On the Sundays when there is no service for a particular housing unit, they just sing songs and pray with the guys. 1 month before my trial, it was our turn Seapod housing unit to have Sunday service with Ms. Turner and Ms. Turnick. The message was good, as always, but Ms. Turnick said something that stood out. In fact, after the service, one guy commented on the statement that she had made. And Ms. Turnage said that we should work on our own cases instead of waiting for our lawyers to do everything for us. I had no bond, so I could not bond out of jail and my trial was only a few weeks away. I could not work on my own case even if I wanted to do so. After the mistrial in November, I was granted a bond, although I didn't want one. In court, Ms. Sanders asked for a bond for me, but I told the judge that I had exhausted all of my funds since the time of my arrest. A couple of weeks later, 2 days before Thanksgiving 2017, Mr. Bernard and Ms. Sanders' assistant called and informed me that Judge Carol White Richard issued an order setting my bond at $25,000. Greenwood, Mississippi local newspaper, the Greenwood Commonwealth, Wednesday, November 22, 2017. Judge sets bond for accused killer by Catherine Eastburn, staff writer. A judge has issued an order setting bond for a Greenwood man accused of first-degree murder in the 2014 stabbing death of his wife. Judge Carol White Richard declared a mistrial in Edward Broome's murder trial on November 1, after 2 days of testimony from prosecution witnesses. At that time, White Richard told attorneys she would consider defense attorney Nisha Sanders' request that her client, Broome, be remanded to the custody of his family. Assistant District Attorney Tim Jones vehemently objected, saying he considered Broome a danger to the community and a flight risk and urging that he remain in custody without bond. White Richard's most recent order, dated last Thursday, said that, regarding the defendant's motion to set bond, the court, having considered the nature of the offense, the defendant's prior criminal history, the length of time the defendant has been incarcerated without bond and the circumstances surrounding the mistrial, sustained the motion and would set bond for $25,000. It is not clear whether Broome will be able to make bond for release, as Sanders said he had depleted all of his existing funds and was indigent. Broom was arraigned in February 2016 and has been without bond in the LaFour County Jail since that time. Broom was found tied up at the wrists and ankles at his 710 West President Saint home on September 21, 2014. Nearby in the bedroom where he was found, his wife LaKayla Broom, a nurse with Mid-Delta Home Health, was found dead, stabbed multiple times. According to police, Broom called 911 early that morning to report an attack. A detective, Greenwood Police Department Lieutenant Jerry Bankston, investigated and gathered evidence at the scene and was prosecution's chief witness at the recent trial. Bankston allegedly texted with Assistant District Attorney Trish Rogers from the witness stand while court was in session, leading to the judge's order of a mistrial. Jones said he would retry the case during the next circuit court session in January and has issued a large number of subpoenas summoning witnesses for January. 16. The low bond left me ambiguous. I started to think that God was allowing me to bond out of jail so that I could look up some laws, statutes, and cases pertaining to my case. For the next couple of weeks, I was trying to use the phone each day, trying to figure out how to bond out of jail. All of this was just a distraction, though, a trick from the devil to preoccupy my mind and cause me to slacken doing the Lord's work while in jail. After news of my bond reached the guys in jail, things got worse. My pride kicked in. All the talk was about my low bond and how they would bond out if they had such a low bond. Finally, after days and days of not being able to post bail, I said to all those who were constantly bringing up the subject, I can't go nowhere. I ain't got no more money, man. Being honest about my financial situation caused the chatter to cease, but it did not give me complete peace about the situation. Here's why. It's not that I was not able to bond out of jail. It's the whole ordeal about why I was not able to post my bail. My Uncle Rat and his wife Aunt Lee Lee were willing to spend the $1,200 needed to post my bail. Before they did so, they contacted other family members about the situation. My baby brother and my mother thought that if I bonded out of jail, my family members' lives would be in danger. This caused Uncle Rat to not post my bail. You see, considered guilty until proven innocent, although the law expresses that everyone accused of a crime is innocent until proven guilty. Because my innocence had not yet been proven, friends or close relatives of my deceased wife would probably have tried to take revenge upon me or someone in my family while I was out on bond. This bothered me, so I kept praying about it. Here in Greenwood, Mississippi, people like me, or I told you earlier in this book how the Lord showed me that if anything happened to anyone while I was out on bail, I would have to bear the blame. What I did not tell you is that I was heartbroken because my baby brother didn't want me to bond out. I know it was selfish for me to want to bond out, but I did not want to remain in jail for months until my retrial. The devil had found a way to get inside of my head. He entered through my heart. I tried not to blame my baby brother for me still being in jail, but it was hard. I contacted my sister, and she did not want me to stay in jail, so I prayed and prayed about it. I was tempted to have my sister call my Uncle Rat and give him the green light, since his main concern was their well-being and safety, but I didn't. I kept my peace and held my tongue. The Lord sent Brother Nelridge Tremail through to get me back on track by leading me by example. Brother Tremail showed me what I was doing wrong by living the way that he was living, always singing, praising, and glorifying God. God's Holy Spirit living inside of me convicted me of my slacking, and I soon forgot about how heartbroken I had been. And I tried to get back on the path that I had been traveling when all of my joy was in the Lord. By the grace of God and because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, I was where I think I needed to be. I had lost some valuable time, and that's why I'm finishing this book as I lie across the bed at home, instead of in jail, where I started this book. The Spirit of God is prompting me to finish the series of sermons for my first book, God Loves You and Me Too, which as of now, is not published yet. I intend to write a sermon for each chapter. I did the first two in jail, and now I have 10 more to write. If it's the Lord's will, may the grace of God be with you all.